the weekly podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
Nice to have everybody here this morning. Nice sunny day. Cool weather is on its way this week, though. No more 90s. So let's go to God in prayer. Mighty God in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this time, Lord, that we can be here in your house, Lord, and we do thank you for the sunshine outside, Lord. Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you've given each individual here, Lord, and we also thank you for the blessings that you've given your church here. Father, I just ask now that you watch over the service, Lord, and be with the speaker, Lord. And Father, we just pray that this brings glory to you and leads others to Christ. We pray this in your Son's name. As we come around the Lord's table, let's go to God in prayer. Mighty God in heaven, Lord, we do thank you for this day, Lord, that we can be here in your house. Father, we thank you for all that have turned out this morning to sing praises to you and to hear your message, Lord. Father, we come to a time now where we remember around the table, Lord, your Son Jesus. Father, we know that he left heaven out of free will, out of love for us. We know that he walked on earth, Lord, and he was mocked, spit upon, beaten, a crown hung on his head, Lord, and he was hung on a cross. And Father, then we know he died. Before, Father, we also know 3 days later he rose from the dead and is now interceding in heaven for us. Father, now I pray for the ones that are taking part in the communion, remembering your Son. I ask you to be with them, Lord, and help to guide them and help them to be witness to others. And for the ones that might be here, Lord, that don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we just pray that we can be a witness to them. I pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.
Good morning. Please take an opportunity to look over your announcements in the bulletin. A number of things coming up. We're not going to go over all of those today. Please do notice that on the Welcome Center and the back tables, we have these little invite cards. September 19th is National Back to Church Sunday, and you can take these cards, take six or so, and pass them out to your friends. Leave them when you go at a restaurant. Leave them there with your tip. Just make sure your tip is decent. Otherwise, that might not work very well. But take these and hand them out. It's an opportunity to invite people to National Back to Church Sunday on September 19th. So you have plenty of time, but grab a few before you leave today. Make sure you do that. Please take the opportunity to look over the other announcements. Prayer request. Please notice the sympathies we have. Esther Scott passed away August 20th. They're having a memorial service here October 8th, so it'll be a while before we have the memorial service. Also, Donna Kincaid lost her husband, Jim, so please keep Donna and family in your prayers. And Bridget Dalton, Carrie Osborne lost father and grandfather, Carl Hott, so please keep that family in your prayers. There'll be a memorial service here September 12th in the afternoon for Carl. Also, if you look at the prayer list, Henry Huff on the bottom of the list there, He passed away also from COVID-19. So please keep his family in your prayers along with the rest. Patty Koblenz was in the hospital last week, but she's here with us this morning. Good to see you doing so well. So let's take a moment and go to God in silent prayer. Amen. It's good to have Ryan and Kay Flowers and family with us today. Ryan is our new associate minister in charge basically of the youth, and he's starting with us this week. He will not be with us next Sunday because he has a commitment at Elkhorn Valley Christian Service Camp, but will be with us on Grandparents' Day. So we're going to ask if Ryan, if you would come up, and if you want to bring the whole family, or just Kate, if you come up and bring the whole group. Now, see if you can remember the names of all the kids. See if you can do that. Come on up. Come on up here.
You want me to say something? Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here with you all. I'm not very far away from you. I grew up in New Waterford, so you guys know how close that is to you, and most of you are familiar with Lake Mount, and that's where I was born and raised. That's where I've spent most of my life growing up. So Man, was I humbled at the opportunity to come over here and assist you guys and get on board with you guys to help you as you strive to be an effective church here in East Palestine. So I'm excited to be here, and I got the kids all excited too as well. It's a little early in the morning for them, so they might have a little sleep in their eyes still, but I'm an early riser just like you guys. I love being up early with the day, so it's great to be here, and I'm looking forward to getting to know each and every one of you. To me, God has placed value on each and every single one of us individually. If we were the only ones here on earth, it would be important to God to have a relationship with us. So that value that we have in front of God, I see that value in every single one of us as well. So I have a desire to know you and to be an encouragement to you as you faithfully follow Jesus here on earth. So thank you very much for having us, and I look forward to meeting you all. Kate, did you have anything you want to say? My wonderful wife, just on an aside, how many of you are familiar with Heartbeat of Columbiana County, the Ava Women's Center? Well, my wife just got that opportunity dropped in her lap in January this year. She's the new executive director replacing Linda Dankert. So if you would, not only pray for me as I help you all here, pray for Kate as she helps Heartbeat as well, and how awesome that ministry is. That there's very little that's more important to my life than protecting the unborn and protecting the right to life. So I am so happy that Kate has been able to accept that responsibility and follow through with that responsibility. It's a huge blessing to us. So thank you again. I'll see you guys out there this morning.
Hey, introduce the kids.
All right. The smallest of our bunch is Carter. His slightly older sister is Adelaide. Her slightly older sister is Lily. Her slightly older brother is Trey. And my oldest, who is recently immersed, is Emily Renee.
Now, we got a special prize for any of you who can tell us all their names after the service. It's great to have them working with us. Really excited, looking forward to this together, working together. Today we are starting a two-week prayer-a-thon. It begins today and it ends September 11th. And we're asking you, if you haven't signed your name on the bulletin board yet to be part of the prayer-a-thon, to please sign today. What we are doing is we're asking you to promise to pray just once a day. You don't have to pray all day long. We're asking you to pray for an hour, just once a day, that you would pray that we as a congregation will reach many new people for Christ this fall. We'd like you to pray for the preachers and the leaders and the teachers and for all the church members as we make a special effort to reach out and invite and teach people this fall. And you know people by name who need Jesus, so pray for them by name. And pray for our programs that they may be a means of reaching people for Christ this fall. Pray for Grandparents' Day coming up and National Baptist Church Day. We will be sending out 5,000 postcards to the people in the area, inviting them to church on National Baptist Church Day. So you pray that God would soften their hearts and that they would take that opportunity to come and join us in worship on September 19th. So just pray. Pray that God gives us victory and soul after soul after soul will be won for Christ this fall. So you haven't signed up and you don't usually go out that way by the bulletin board, go that way today and sign your name to join us in that prayer-a-thon. Today I'm going to talk about prayer, and next week I'm going to talk about prayer. Next week I'm going to zero in on why God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we ask them. And I'm going to tell you ahead of time, though, as we talk about that, I'm going to tell you that the majority of time, and you think about it between this week and next week, the majority of time, most of the time, God does answer your prayers just as you pray them. And you might be saying, oh, no, I don't. Yeah, we'll talk about it next week. So make sure you come and hear as we talk about why God might not always answer our prayers exactly the way we ask them. Today, I want to do three things. I want us to look at some instructions God gives us concerning prayer. I want us to look at some basic components of prayer. Then we're going to look at how God answers prayer, some biblical examples and an example here in our day and age. I was watching a short YouTube video the other day. It's kind of a guy in the street video, and he was interviewing people about prayer, and he asked all kind of questions about prayer, and video went on for about 6 or 7 minutes. And when he asked the people to whom they prayed, some people said God, Others said Allah. Others said Jesus or the Holy Spirit. Some said they just prayed to a higher power. One guy said he prayed to Satan. One guy said he prayed to aliens, but I think he was just messing with the fella. These people had all kind of strange thoughts about prayer. I counted 7 people when asked, "Do you pray?" said no. One person said, "I pray when necessary." One lady said she had a better way than prayer to get in touch with a higher power. She said she did it through deep thoughts, through wishfulness, through hope. Somebody needs to grab that lady and say, "Get real," you know? An interviewer asked a young girl why she believed prayer works. And the girl said, listen to this. She said, "I believe maybe it'll come true, even if there is not actually someone there to make it come true." In other words, she said, if there's no God to answer my prayers, if there's nobody to answer my prayers, but if I believe enough, maybe I'll get an answer anyhow. And she had a friend standing next to her, just shaking her head and staring at her girlfriend here like, "Oh yeah, that's so deep." I want to assure you, it was not really deep. God hasn't left us on our own when it comes to prayer. He has given us guidance. He has given us instructions concerning prayer. Many people pray, just like I said, to just about anything or anyone. But God has given us instructions. If we want our prayers to be answered, we need to follow His instructions. Now, we're going to look at 9 things God instructed us to do. Now, to tell you the truth, I could spend 1 week on each one of these things. But we're going to go through them very quickly today. So if you're the type of person who likes to take notes, get your notepad and your pencil out right away, because we're going to move quickly with these things. I'm not going to take 9 minutes to share these 9 things with you. But these are 9 things. And I'm doing this quickly because I think most of you know this already. But 9 things God instructs us to do concerning prayer. First of all, we are instructed to pray to the Father. Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray, our Father in heaven." Now, like I said in that interview, people pray to all kinds of deities, they think. People pray to dead relatives. They pray to saints. If we want our prayers to be answered, we need to pray to the Father in heaven. Someone says, "Well, that means you can pray to Jesus. You can pray to the Holy Spirit." Because Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and the Father. They're all God. And that's true. The God, the Father, and the Son, they're equal by nature. But they don't have the same functions. They don't have the same responsibilities, maybe even the same purposes all the time. For instance, did the Father die upon the cross? No. Did the Holy Spirit die upon the cross? No. Yes, Jesus did. You see, so they have different functions. Jesus tells us we are to pray to the Father. That's how we're instructed to pray. We're also instructed to pray that God's will be done. Jesus taught the disciples, pray to the Father, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." 1 John 5:13 says, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Remember when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed, "Not my will, but Your will be done." So this is very important in having our prayers answered and praying correctly. We are also instructed to pray with holy hands. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer. That simply means we are to strive to live holy, righteous lives. And when we sin, we need to confess our sins and we need to repent of our sins if we expect God to hear our prayers. James 5:16 says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And kind of going along with that, reminding us of the other area, the psalmist says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. We are also instructed to pray with a forgiving heart. Jesus said, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. We are also instructed to pray without doubting. James 1:6 says, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. The man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. Then we are instructed to pray with right motives. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with the wrong motives. James 4:3. We're asked to pray with persistence. Jesus tells the story about a man who goes to a friend and asks for something. And at first, the friend isn't willing to give it. But the man is persistent, and after a period of time, he gets what he wants. His friend gives it to him. We are instructed also to pray continually.
That's what 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says. Ephesians 5:16 says we are to always keep on praying. Now, there are some people always want to make the Bible mystical or somehow. They say this means every day, every moment of the day, you need to be in a prayer mode. That's not at all what it means. It just means prayer is important. It's not something we do every so often. It's something that we do every day. Not something we do every other day, not once a week. It's something we do throughout the day, continually. We are also instructed to pray in the name of Jesus. John 15:16 says, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. That's what Jesus said. Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. When we pray in Jesus' name, we recognize this unique role that he has as intercessor between us and the Father. The book of Hebrews we read, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. You see, asking in Jesus' name, we understand that Jesus is an intercessor. And it's because of him that we have this ability to go right through the throne, right to the throne of the God of the universe. Now, you can go to a store and buy a cell phone, but you can't just take out of the box and talk on it. There are things you have to do. You have to dial the number. You have to charge the battery. There are things you have to do in order to use that cell phone. You have to pay the bill. You have to follow instructions. And if we expect our prayers to be answered, we need to follow the instructions that God gives us to prayer. So now let's talk about the five components of prayer. There are more than five components, but we're going to look at five basic components. And as we talk about these, understand that you don't have to have each one of these components in every prayer that you pray. But it's important that these components are a basic part of your prayer, all five of them. And I'm going to give you an easy way to remember these components of prayer. I want you to pray the tacos way. Remember that, tacos. How many of you like tacos? Yeah, we all like tacos, right? So tacos is going to be a way for you to remember these components to prayer. The T in tacos stands for thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Thanksgiving is an important part of our prayer time. I'm going to be honest with you. That's one of the parts of prayer I have difficulty with. Not difficulty in giving thanks, difficulty in stop giving thanks. I get so focused on thanks. The older I get, there's so much more to be thankful for. And as I start and I go from the general things to the specific things, man, it just keeps going on and on. So I sometimes have to force myself to stop the thanksgiving and move on to another component of prayer. Another component would be adoration. Adoration is simply praising God for who he is and what he has done. Of course, there's a little more to it than that. The word adoration in the Greek has this idea of worship. So Jesus tells us in Matthew, to pray to God, hallowed be his name. God is holy. God is separate from sin. And what's so neat about this is, therefore, when I go to God in prayer, I know when he hears my prayer, because he is holy and separate from sin, I can trust that he's going to answer my prayer in a way that is best for me. And I can praise him for that. Psalm 66:3 says, say to God, how awesome are your deeds. And then the next component is confession. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's an important part of prayer. Remember earlier, we looked at the passage in James that tells us the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Well, when we confess our sins, notice what he does. He purifies us from all unrighteousness. Our prayers become more effective. Well, we don't try to hide our sins from God, but we confess our sins to God. And God knows we sin anyhow, so we need to confess our sins and be purified from our sins that our prayers will be effective. Confession is an important component of prayer. And then another component is others. We pray for others, and we pray also for self. So there you go, tacos. If you remember tacos, you'll remember the components of prayer. Now, here's the thing. When we pray for others and self, the first three things, thanksgiving and
and confession and praise to God. All come. We praise God for our friends. We praise God for others. We thank God for them. We confess our faults before God, and we confess sometimes a wrong attitude that we have toward others. But usually when we're talking about others and self in prayer, we're talking about asking God for things. And you know, there are some people that are really hesitant to ask God for things in prayer. For some reason, they think asking God is imposing upon him. But that's not the case at all. God wants us to ask him when we need things. God is our Father, and he wants us to come to him when we need things. He's a loving Father, and he says, ask me when you need guidance. Ask me when you need help. Ask me when you need food. Ask me when you need shelter or strength or wisdom or healing. I'm going to put 9 scriptures up on the board. I'm not going to read any of these. We touched a few of them earlier here. But all these scriptures have something in common. 9 scriptures here, they all say to ask. See, if you're the type of person who says, I don't want to impose upon. No, God says, listen, ask. Now, all these scriptures not only say ask, they have something else in common. They also say, if you ask, I'm going to give it to you. 9 passages here. Now, please don't misunderstand. These are not passages that give us an unconditional promise that whatever we ask for, we're going to get. See, we were instructed to pray in a certain way. And if we pray with wrong motives, if we pray with an unforgiving heart, if we pray filled with sin and anger, if we pray and it's not according to God's will, we're not going to get what we ask for. But if we pray following God's instructions, God says, listen, you're going to get what you ask for. The point is, God wants us to ask. He's a loving Father. He wants you to ask. And that brings me to my 3rd point. And that is, God answers prayer. We looked at James 5:16 earlier. It says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Why is that the case? Because we have a powerful and effective God. The psalmist writes, he gives his command to the earth and it quickly obeys. Psalm 147:15. An angel came to Mary and delivered her a message. Nothing is impossible with God. Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. When God decided certain rivers needed parted, he parted them. When his people were hungry, he dropped manna from heaven, or he multiplied loaves and fishes. When a storm endangered his disciples' lives, he calmed the storm. When Joshua's army needed more daylight to win the victory, he extended the day. His people were thirsty in the middle of the desert, God said to Moses, see that rock? I'm going to give water to 2 million people from that rock. When the lame and the blind and the lepers needed healed, God healed them. When the dead needed raising, God raised them. Listen, there's nothing that God cannot do. We need to understand, when we pray, we have the Father's ear. Moses prayed, God turned back his wrath. Jonah prayed, and the fish spit him upon the shore. David prayed, and his enemies were defeated. Esther prayed, and her people were delivered. Hannah prayed, and she had a child. Samson prayed, and the Philistine temple collapsed. Hezekiah prayed, and God added 15 years to his life. Nehemiah prayed, and the walls of Jerusalem were built. Elijah prayed, and the false prophets on Mount Carmel were destroyed. Young Josiah prayed, and there was a revival in Israel. The apostles prayed, and demons were cast out. The early church prayed, and Peter was released from prison. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 through 15 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. Notice this. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. Helen Rosevier was a missionary in the Congo back then. She died in 2016, but she was a medical missionary in Africa and an author of about 10 books. In one book, she tells about being up throughout the night with a mother in labor. And the mother had a 2-year-old child, and this baby was being born premature. And the mother died in childbirth. And they did their best to try to keep the premature baby alive and to comfort the 2-year-old girl. So one of the nurses went to get a box and a blanket to wrap the baby in, and the other one went to stoke the fire and to fill a hot water bottle. But she came back, she was all distressed because as she filled the hot water bottle, it broke. And Helen goes on to talk about how in the equator there, rubber just kind of disintegrates quickly. And so that was their last hot water bottle. And they had to keep this premature baby alive. They did not have any incubators. They did not have any electricity for incubators. And they had no more hot water bottles. So they stoked the fire, and she had one of the nurses, the baby was in a box with a blanket by the fire, and one of the nurses slept between the door and the baby so the draft would not get to the baby. The following noon, she said, as most days, she had a prayer time with the orphanage kids. And as they gathered to pray, she gave the kids some ideas of what they might want to pray for. And she told them about the mother who died and the two-year-old girl and the premature baby. And they needed to pray that the baby would be okay, that the baby did not get chills. Even though they lived on the equator, at night it got cold, and the baby was really in danger of not making it through the day. So during the prayer time, one of the little girls named Ruthie prayed, and she said, and Helen mentioned she prayed in a very blunt manner, as these little kids were used to doing. And she prayed, "Please God, send us a water bottle. It'll be no good tomorrow, God, as the baby will be dead. So please send it this afternoon." And Helen said she kind of gasped when she heard the prayer. And then Ruthie added, "And while you are about it, would you please send a dolly for the little girl, that she'll know you really love her?" And Helen said she'd been in Africa at that time for about 4 years. She had never received a package from home, a package from anyone, let alone why would someone send her a hot water bottle there on the equator. But that's what Ruthie prayed for, and she prayed for it today. They needed it today. Halfway through the afternoon, Helen said she was teaching in the nurse's school, and a messenger came to say a car was at her house and he was delivering a package. So she let the school out early. She went to the house, and there was a 22-pound package there. She didn't want to open it herself, so she got the kids from the orphanage. They all were excited. They squealed as they took the packaging and the string off and opened the package. And they were excited when she pulled out some sweaters and some shoes and some cake mix and some raisins. Then she pulled out some bandages for the lepers, and they were not real excited about that. But little Ruthie said, "Find the water bottle. Find the water bottle." And Helen said she knew there was no water bottle in there. But she reached down, and she grabbed something, and she pulled it out, and it was the water bottle. And Ruthie squealed, and she said, "Well, if there's a water bottle, there must be a dolly." So she ran up there, and she rummaged through the package, and she pulled out a little dolly too. This girl had prayed in the morning, "God, we need a water bottle. Not tomorrow. We need it today. And send a dolly for the little sister." Now, here's the thing. Helen writes, "That package was sent by my Sunday school class. 5 months ago, they packaged it. A little girl put in one of her dollies. And the Sunday school teacher, for some reason, decided to put in the water bottle. But it was sent 5 months ago. But it was that morning that Ruthie prayed, God, we need a water bottle. We need a dolly." Now, folks, here's what you need to understand. God can not only answer your prayers, God knows what you're going to pray to him 5 months before you need it. That's the type of God we have. Don't you think for a moment that he doesn't hear you and that he can't answer your prayers. Sign that prayer-a-thon list, would you please, and pray with us as we strive to win people for Christ this fall. And understand this, if you're a Christian, you have a Father to whom you can pray and you can be assured of an answer. But if you're not a Christian, you need to understand that God is your creator, but he's not your father. And he doesn't promise to answer your prayers. Now, he may. He could very well. But he doesn't make that promise. He promises us as Christians he will answer. Doesn't promise that to those who are not his children. So if you're not a Christian today, please understand you can become a Christian.
Prayer is just one of the many blessings that we have as Christians. The greatest is that our sins are forgiven through the sacrifice of Christ, and we can have eternal life in heaven. If you're not a Christian today, we're going to sing an invitation hymn, and we would encourage you to make the decision this morning to become a Christian. You do that through faith that leads you to confess your sins, to repent of your sins, or confess Jesus Christ, to repent of your sins, and be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins and gift of the Holy Spirit. As we sing invitation hymn, if you need to make a decision, would you please come forward and we'll take your confession of faith in Christ and baptize you today. Now maybe you say, I really want to do this, but I'm just not quite ready this morning. It's not something you ought to put off. But if you have questions about it, please see me or Chad or one of the leaders or any church member afterwards, and we'll be glad to help you know what you need to do to become part of God's family, to make sure you'll receive heaven, eternal life, and that you can have your prayers answered by your Father. Let's be standing as we sing the invitation hymn together.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to join us in person, we meet on Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Have a great week.